City podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs quick with no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad Boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome, everybody, to the episode number 2 of the Sin City Indie Report. I am Sin City Steve, and I'm being joined again this week by our special guest host, Red Jed. Jed, how the hell are you, and what a week of wrestling?
What is up, my brothers and sisters? Red Jed right here. But yeah, man, what a week, a follow-up week. Definitely of note coming off of WrestleMania week. Man, this was another humdinger of a week, man. Lots of variety in the indie scene this week, for sure.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, and really quick, right at the top here, because last week, quite frankly, we were so in the weeds with everything from Mania week. You know, take that however you will. But, you know, it's one of those things that we had so much to cover, we didn't really set the tone for what to expect. So just a couple of minutes here right at the top, and then we'll get into show coverage and all that kind of stuff. But what to expect from the Sin City Indie Report? A couple of things, very simple. You are going to get match analysis, card analysis. We may have some special guests from the independent wrestling scene, not just here in Las Vegas, but anywhere in the United States and even beyond. So if you are an indie promoter, if you are an indie worker, if you have any ties to independent professional wrestling, we would love to collaborate with you. So obviously, feel free, reach out to us, VegasBadBoysOfPodcasting@gmail.com, or you can hit us up in any of the socials right down there on the bottom of the screen. Spoiler alert, if you're listening to the only audio portion of this show, Vegas Bad Boys on X, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Twitch is the only one where it's kind of weird. We're Vegas Bad Boys Podcast, but you can also hit us up on our .com, VegasBadBoys.com, so that you can get in the loop with everything, all Vegas Bad Boys. So obviously, that being said, yeah, let's just dive in, man. And I think I have to set the tone right out of the gate with this, because this is a show, Jed, that I kind of scoffed at. I'll be completely honest. When you first mentioned it to me, that you were watching it and that you were enjoying it. And I'll be honest, I've gone back and looked at previous episodes, and then including this week's episode. Jed, I'm talking about Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Dude.
Oh. Whoop, whoop. Can I get a whoop, whoop?
Whoop, whoop. Bro,
I
did not think that this would be one of the more entertaining shows, but consistently, you know, everybody in creative there, all of the talent that's in JCW right now, which I have to specify, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. We're going to talk about another JCW here in a minute. Ah. But hats off to all of those men and women in that promotion, because, you know, they have broken through. And I think that consistently they're putting out an amazing product each and every week. And obviously I'm talking about JCW Lunacy. And this week was all about Stranglemania Fallout. We talked about their Stranglemania show from here in Las Vegas that took place starting at about 1 o'clock in the morning, going until about 4 a.m. And this week we happened to see some Fallout. So Jed, what stood out to you from JCW Lunacy?
Oh, man, there was so much lunacy, man, in this one. Oh,
hell yeah.
My Lord. I think the one thing that stood out to me was the fallout from the angle involving the Brothers of Funstruction and the kidnapping of one of the guys that occurred right before Stranglemania, like the episode prior. He got kidnapped. He got apparently, like, possibly killed. We didn't really know what the fuck was going on with this guy. You find out at the end of the episode that he's kind of like bound and gagged. And then at the beginning of Stranglemania, somebody carts him back to the arena in Vegas where the Stranglemania was. And we saw the Brothers of Funstruction and Stranglemania. But now all of a sudden on this episode, they're back to their other egos, which are the Brothers Carlita or Cronies or the Brothers something.
Yeah.
The Sony, I can't remember the exactly what it is, but so now they're in this angle with Vito trying to one up his like mafioso Italian mob kind of type of thing, and they're trying to like do one over on Vito. And then apparently, like, Vito's got some other family members that are supposedly coming in. Man, it's like the Italian mob boss warfare here. And, man, it's just one thing after the next with this fucking show, man. But that stood out to me as really cool. Man, cocaine against Stephen fucking Flow.
Stephen Flow, man. I love some of the gimmicks that we get in JCW,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
These gimmicks would never fly anywhere else. But yes, their world champion is named Cocaine.
Indeed.
Yes, and it's exactly what you think it is. Kane, except he has an affinity for cocaine.
Yes, and he's even gotten a zombie tag team like hooked on cocaine and other illicit drugs and alcohol and the outbreak that they go by. So there's like there's so many like offshoot storylines in this company. It's just outrageous. And it's like, I think I was watching it this week and I thought to myself, what type of movie genre or anything like that would this compare to? It's like schlocky Troma Studios films, like the Toxic Avenger, Class of Nukem High, like all the Troma films.
Yep.
This is exactly what this fucking company is. In wrestling, it's like wacky, goofy, off the wall, unpredictable, pretty brazen, pretty at times violent, very kind of, I could go on and on. It's wacky. It's fucking entertaining as fuck. What can you
and
say?
That's the thing, is it's entertaining.
Yep.
You know, this is in no way meant to diminish what these guys and gals are doing. if you're just looking for an entertaining professional wrestling product, I'm not kidding you. Thursdays, before you watch the Sin City Indie Report right here on YouTube or Twitch or Facebook or wherever you're watching us, yeah, go and watch JCW Lunacy. It's an entertaining couple of hours. It's fun. And I have to commend Vince Russo, man, genuinely.
Yeah.
He's an on-air character as well as doing a lot of the creative, but it works. It absolutely works in this environment. Mm-hmm. And hats off to friend of the show, Vince Russo.
Yeah, man. He really, yeah, creatively, I mean, this fits the style that he always was working with, that Crash TV format. Man, this works for this style. It's perfect. It keeps me engaged, man. The time flies. I'm definitely hooked into it. I'm like immersed in it, and as it should be. You know, I can watch JCW and get my mind completely off of anything fucking else going in on my life in the world. You name it, I just sit there and just, oh my God, what the fuck is this? And I just want more of it, basically. You know,
hell yeah,
Crash TV format, and we also had in this episode a Russo trademark, which was the guitar on the pole match. Only with an electric guitar. Yeah. Unbelievable. Followed by the newest valet in JCW. Did you catch this?
Yeah.
Cocaine. Yes. Oh my God. Wow.
Cocaine with his new valet, Cocaine.
Yeah. Man,
so fucking good, dude.
Yeah,
and we obviously we're heaping all this praise on Cocaine. What about Stephen Flo? I mean, obviously, you guys have probably seen the viral clips of Stephen Flo coming to the ring with a remixed Pearl Jam song. Instead of being Even Flo, it's Stephen Flo. Dude, mm-hmm. just excellent creativity, and yeah, it's escapism. It's just pure escapism. To put it into perspective, if you've never watched JCW, they've been running teasers and vignettes for the Green Phantom. The guy shows up at Stranglemania and literally just shows up, high-fives some people, and leaves. So he made his in-ring debut this week and loses in like 5 seconds. Yeah. It was completely unconventional, completely surprised, and it worked because of the hyperbolic nature of this show.
Oh, 110%. Yeah. And just the crowd environment's always unique, and yeah, just the way they film it. I mean, they've got everything down that makes them unique, makes them stand out, very much a niche audience for sure. And just something that is against the grain and is just so over the top that it really stands out on its own. It's quite like no other promotion out there.
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, they're homegrown stars in JCW, but there are some names that you might recognize from maybe even national promotions. So you've got, obviously, EC3 is in there now as well. You've got Caleb Conley in there, both of which are featured very prominently. And those two guys mixed it up this past week or this week on JCW as well.
Yeah, that was the main event and decent little match. And then, yeah, that storyline is quite twisty and turny. You got Matt Cross involved in there who was, you could tell something was going on when he came back out at the end of the show as the Masked Phantom or whatever that was, the Green Phantom.
The Green Phantom, Green
Phantom, but yeah, it reveals to be Matt Cross, obviously got the mix and the behind the scenes, took his mask and whatnot, and off he went. So yeah, there's this ongoing storyline with Matt Cross, Caleb Connolly, intermixed in the mix of everything with Russo and whatnot. So it's coming full circle a little bit. Now you got EC3 in the middle of it. And you got Kerry Morton is in the middle of all that madness as well. So it's an interesting scene on top. And you never really know who to expect with JCW. I mean, they have a lot of talent that kind of rotates in and out. So we'll see where that goes. Next week, we have a whole other variety of talent there will be featured. So
absolutely, yeah. Man. Can't wait to see more. But what we're going to do, we're going to kind of shift gears just a little bit, and we're going to talk about another show that you happen to check out, Jed. So I'm going to kind of isolate you on screen with this image a bit here.
All right.
So talk to us about Ohio Valley Wrestling and Rise this week.
Yeah, man. So Rise is the weekly OVW show. It's on YouTube every Thursday night, actually head-to-head with JCW every single week. So I've been following OVW for a good couple of years, at least pretty steadily. They definitely have ups and downs. I know there was a lot of recent controversy with them with that referee incident. They got, unfortunately, some bad press about that. But I have to say, you know, generally speaking, the crowds are hot. Everybody's really on their best, you know, showcasing their talents on these shows, trying to get their name out. It's a national show. It's a national outlet that they're using in YouTube every single week. And yeah, man, particularly what caught me this week was a few things. There's an angle involved going on the show with this guy called TW3. And this dude is like, the dude can't get a break. He's just constantly losing. He's just like the butt of every joke. And he's actually been, until last week, wore a turkey suit, like that same turkey suit that they used to do in TNA all the time.
Shit.
They did a turkey match with him and somebody else back in Thanksgiving Thunder, I think it was, back in November. And he got the suit. And the gimmick with this suit is like, he cannot get rid of the suit until he actually beats a competitor. Well, he went on a hell of a losing streak. And finally, last week, lost the turkey outfit.
Oh,
thanks to another wrestler that just basically told him, hey man, I feel you. I want to help you out. I'm going to basically do like a finger poke of doom type of thing for you. I will take the fall and you'll beat me so you can get this turkey suit off. But you got to do a favor for me. So TW3 is like, okay, whatever. I need to get out of this thing. I'm the laughing stock of this company. I need to do it. So he does it and the other guy is named Icon Lee. He's basically like a gladiator version of Leo Rush. That's okay. The best way I could describe this dude. Same size, same look, but he's got gladiator gimmick. So, anyway, Icon Lee does the fall, and he does the TW3 beats him via finger poke of doom, essentially. And then you end up finding out that the favor was that Icon Lee now has TW3 as his basically like slave, and TW3 now has to wear a sheep costume every single week. So this continued on this week as well, and it will, I'm assuming, continue for many, many weeks moving forward. Now, TW3 is Icon Lee's bitch, and he's Icon Lee's sheep, wearing a sheep outfit. So, very wacky, very, very, very fucking wacky shit. Speaking of wacky shit, there was an angle on OVW this week as well, where a tag team actually was being pranked by another tag team, and they somehow got a chocolate cake that had laxatives in it, and they were mowing down on the chocolate cake. And the next thing you know, they're running to the bathroom and fart sound effects en masse, shitting and farting endlessly as the cameras cut away. So there was probably the most wacky thing of the whole week. That may have even outdone the whole cane. Anything on JCW, frankly.
That's got to be going pretty far, man.
Right.
That's to be real.
It was covering the shit and then some. So, but yeah, the other big piece of OVW Rise was the three-way match for the media championship. This match also was to determine the number one contender who would take on Dustin Jackson at their next upcoming pay-per-view, which I believe is called Collision Course in a few weeks. And it was also for the OVW Media Championship. Think of World Television Championship, essentially. And that was Jay De Niro against Cal Hero against Mr. 169, Stephen Steele, quite a charismatic character. He reminds me of a younger version of Buddy Rose, if you guys remember Playboy Buddy Rose. Really, really wacky character that this guy plays. Really crude, lewd, and all over the place, man, in his personality. Anyhow, Jay De Niro ended up winning the match when Cal Hero and Steven Steele, who have this ongoing feud that they're having, were kind of like, it's been an interesting thing in their storyline too, because Cal Hero has been like the Shawn Michaels of OVW, tried and true babyface typically. But since he's been interacting with Steven Steele, who went from a heel and now has gone full babyface, he's got kind of jealous at Steven Steele a little bit for his spotlight. And they have done kind of like a double turn a little bit, where Steven Steele is going much, much more babyface, and Cal Hero's slowly tweening towards being a heel. So that played into the storyline in this match, where essentially, because of their feud, it cost them both the match, essentially, and the world title shot coming up, and the media championship. So Jay De Niro retained the championship and will take on Dustin Jackson in a few weeks at this Collision Course POV event they're doing.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, and you know, OVW, they've been doing excellent things for years now. And so it's great that they are continuing that tradition. And, you know, I love the Steven Steele gimmick, by the way. I have to voice that. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen any of the footage from it, I highly recommend checking it out. Again, take it for what it is. It is a comedy gimmick, but this guy is he's gaining some buzz and some traction with it.
He's starting to really work better consistently in the ring. I'm seeing like his game has stepped up. I believe he's even actively losing weight week to week. It seems like he's getting himself in shape more. And then
will get to 169 pounds.
Exactly, right? So yeah, he's gonna go somewhere. I don't think he's gonna be stuck in OVW for much longer. Yeah. He's got potential, and yeah, I believe Al Snow and I think Mickey James still handles the booking of OVW. Okay. So really good stuff, man. I really enjoy it week to week.
Excellent, excellent. And you know, Cal Hero is a name that I really think has been undervalued and underappreciated as well. Yep. He's been doing excellent things for quite some time. And he is one of the guys that realistically deserves more of a shine and more opportunity.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, that he is one of the many, that are not getting the exposure that they deserve. And, hopefully we can shine a little bit of a spotlight over on our corner of the internet, and you know, give these men and women the props that they deserve.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I mean, these guys pay their dues, and then in that territory, man. They do the small shows in the, you know, Ohio Valley, so to speak, Kentucky and things of those nature, and you got diehard fans there too. So yeah, it's just always fun to watch. I would love to go to this arena sometime to experience at the Davis Arena. So,
absolutely, and you know, tons of history there for sure.
Yeah.
So, let's turn and pivot and talk about a show that we both checked out. And why were we able to check this one out as well? Because it was a nice, compact 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Two matches, hit a couple of vignettes. You know, build some anticipation for these matches, and that's it. It was super self-contained, very easy watch, and I'm talking about the One Fall Wrestling event, Rumble in Rome. It was part of a larger taping that they did, and they're releasing episodes weekly, and each episode has a couple of matches on it, so they're keeping everything kind of bite-sized, and I think that this is a great play, especially if any of you folks that are watching or listening have Triller Plus, that subscription service is amazing for instances like 1FW, because you can get access and view these promotions. And again, bite-sized events that you can just watch and be done with, enjoy it, and it's not going to be a three-hour slog that you have to get through. So.
Right. Right. Yeah, just like a weekly TV format, 1 hour without commercials, very to the point, couple matches. Both matches had a decent amount of time too, you know. Yeah. So I thought, all in all, you know, this was very easy to digest. And this was quite honestly the first show I've ever seen from this promotion. I'm Same. Slightly familiar with it. Now, this is based in Georgia, from my understanding. And QT Marshall has a hand on this, correct?
Yeah, this is QT's promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
So props to him for, you know, having this promotion. And quite frankly, the commentary team. I mean, you got Conrad Thompson as one of your commentators.
Yeah,
so you can't go wrong.
Yeah,
friend of the show, Conrad Thompson.
Right. Yeah. I loved that little surprise. I did not expect him to be on here. And then like that main event, man, Paul Walker Hauser against Jeff Jarrett in a fucking tables match. What?
Hey, I did not think that in 2026, we would see Paul Hauser versus Jeff Jarrett in a tables match in 2026. No, but here we fucking are. And right. it was great. These guys brawled all the way around the arena. It was a walk and brawl, but you know what? It delivered. It absolutely delivered. And obviously Jarrett getting the win by somewhat putting Paul through a table. But then fortunately after the match, he did drop the elbow on him as well to make sure that there was no doubt in anyone's mind on that.
Yeah, I think they had to use the old school thicker tables a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
The match, you can tell they were not the typical tables we usually see in wrestling matches. They're a little stiffer, so to speak.
Absolutely.
But yeah, absolutely. What a brawl all around, this crowd of about 1500 people, it looked like, man, you know,
they had a good day.
Independent of show, you know.
Yeah. They drew a good house, man. Yeah. And also the first match on that show was a defense of the Maple Leaf Pro Women's Canadian Championship, as Giselle Shaw defended her championship against Brooke Havoc, Hyena Hera, and Robin Renegade. So hard-hitting action. You know, all four of these ladies busted their asses, and Giselle Shaw walks away with that championship. Realistically, you didn't really think that the title was going to change hands anyway, but, you know, that willing suspension of disbelief, because as you had mentioned, this was your first time seeing this promotion. This was also my first time seeing this promotion. So I went into this completely blind and did not know what to expect.
Yeah. Same, man. I just went in blind, and I thought their graphics and things of that nature, the way they edited the show, was pretty damn good. I mean, there's
production was good.
So many independent promotions right now that just have professionally, it's like they put the time and the effort and the quite honestly the money into it as well. So
that's key thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And so let's turn just a little bit here to a show that you had the privilege of seeing that I did not see, which was the New Japan Academy Showcase.
Yeah, man. So this dropped this like Tuesday night randomly. I'm on YouTube after I believe I watched NXT, and I'm like, just surfing around. And this popped up on the New Japan website. And apparently this is something that they do at least annually, this New Japan Academy Showcase. My guess is they probably do this more than just annually, but this one particularly was a third anniversary, basically, of these shows of the New Japan Academy Dojo in Carson, California, where it's based. So this was kind of an anniversary show of sorts. And a few names stood out, particularly names that we saw in Vegas and a few shows here and there, a few shows that we went to as well. Danger Ross was involved on this show in a tag team match, not with his usual partner in Live Danger, but another guy that I have not seen much of, but he was in a tag match. Also, Stephen Borden was on this show. In addition, in a tag match, which was probably one of the better matches of the show. They gave him about 20 minutes to really sell and to do a lot of stuff I have not seen him do yet in a ring. Mm-hmm. So a lot of more variety in his spots and a lot more complexity to this match than I've seen anything from him. So that was impressive. Johnny Robbie, a woman wrestler who is all over the West Coast, Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was in some Vegas shows as well. I saw her name on a lot of lineups. So she was on this show. And then the main event was Raymond Bright, who we saw at the House of Glory. I believe it was even the opening match. He took in place of Ricky Sosa, who I'm presuming that TNA pulled. He took his place in that opening match. And he looked pretty good in that match, if I recall, that we saw. He looked phenomenal in the main event on this show against another competitor I'm not completely familiar with, but CJ Pino, I believe his name is, or something to those lines. The Strong Survivor title was on the line in this match. So I think it's CJ Tino, if I recall. But yeah, the Strong Survivor title, which I presume to be kind of one of their bigger titles that they feature as a standout within their group of people that they're training and things of that nature. But yeah, generally speaking, this show showcased a mix. So you had the opening match was literally two guys that have never had a match before together in a match. You know, so that started the show, and then it ended the show with some more established talent, but as the show built, it just kind of picked up the pace a little bit match to match. I thought the flowed well. The production was nice. I think David Marquez probably produced this. It sure felt like it. And yeah, it was an easy watch. It was about an hour and a half long. I definitely suggest breezing through it if you want. It's definitely a nice shot to see who's up and coming and how we connected, or how I connected some of these guys to Vegas. I mean, this show apparently was taped at like the end of March, so it was relatively recent. So it did tie into a lot of these competitors over in Vegas, right across, I guess, state lines over in Carson, California, where this is based.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, man. And, you know, I can't let you have all the fun, man. I got to talk a little bit here, too. So we're going to turn and just pivot a bit here. And I'm going to talk about the Jersey Championship Wrestling home opener show that I had the privilege of seeing. And as the graphic shows, that was on Sunday, April the 26th. Honestly, dude, this was a blast. A lot of names that we saw here in Vegas were on this show. You had Ray Jazz. He went up against Cheeseburger in a fun opening match. You had Nixie XS on this show. One called Manders went up against Gabby Forza. And that was definitely a standout match on this show for sure. Manders is putting in some great work. He is doing some excellent things right now.
Yeah, man. He's got the physicality down. He sells well. Yeah, just a total package of worker right now, man.
And hell yeah, dude.
Nixie XS, man. Yeah, she was all over Vegas.
She's been everywhere.
Yeah. She was in a very bizarre match on Polar Mania, I think it was, wasn't it? There was like a poker table involved. And here we go again. Cocaine, some cocaine going on.
Hey, there you go, man. There's the thread through it all.
Yeah. What the hell? You know, it's an interesting thing with this show is I think the first hour aired on YouTube. I saw something about it.
Yeah. They had, so the first hour was on YouTube, and then they went on Triller Plus. So again, having that Triller Plus membership is clutch for independent wrestling. So if you don't have that, check that out for sure. By no means is this show sponsored by Triller Plus. However, we are always open to that. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, right. indeed.
And elsewhere on this show, dude, I was not familiar with Don Freeze's game.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
This guy, if you've not seen Don Freeze, he is, I'd say, what, 350 pounds?
Yeah.
Every bit of 350 pounds. One of the most agile guys in the ring that I have seen doing fucking running shooting stars.
Yeah.
What?
I know. like, and more high-flying athletic version of, like, Keith Lee. I would almost say a little bit. Yeah. Really, like, you don't expect that going into a match with him, and all of a sudden this guy's throwing down wild spots.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I have to say, though, the biggest standout match for me on this show was the defense of the Game Changer Wrestling Tag Team Championship, which I did have it confirmed to me that GCW and this JCW have some sort of a working relationship. Obviously, same ownership group, those kinds of things. You had Veda Scott on the commentary. You had MLJ doing the ring announcing. So very familiar stuff if you're familiar with GCW. But yeah, Busta and the Brain defended their GCW Tag Team Championships against Junie Underwood and Ryan O'Neal. I'll tell you what, man, those latter two guys definitely made an impact and are some names to watch. I think that they have an amazing future ahead of them for sure. And again, Alec Price, Jordan Oliver, they've been busting their asses for years on the indies. Obviously now they're all elite. So it's great to see them starting to get their flowers and starting to see them get the respect that they deserve too.
You know it. And it's interesting, you know, that the fact that they are, you know, Ring of Honor, AEW talent, and yet are allowed to continue to do a run with these titles. So it shows there's some sort of, I wouldn't call it a full-on partnership with GCW and AEW, but at least an agreement of sorts, an understanding, casual relationship, I guess you call it, or something like that, or casual partnership of some sort. So, because we've seen other AEW talents recently as just at Vegas, you know, with Jack Perry and others involved. So it's definitely a thing that happens and happens more often than I thought it would at this point. So,
yeah, most definitely. And your main event for this show was the JCW championship match as WWE ID contracted talent Marcus Mathers lost out to the House of Glory champion. You mentioned House of Glory just a bit ago as well, Jed. Yeah. Charles Mason. And this was a really interesting dynamic because Charles Mason is a great heel. He's great as a heel, but Marcus Mathers somehow got this crowd to turn on him.
Really?
And by the end of this shit, Charles Mason was a damn babyface.
What the fuck? Really?
Wow. It's fucking unreal. So I would guess that it has something to do with the fact of, you know, where they were. Obviously they were in Jersey. Marcus Mathers is from Philly. And so obviously you have that dynamic in there, but, and for the record, shout out to Charles Mason for having one of the more interesting entrance themes that I've ever heard. It's a male version of the Shania Twain song, Ka-Ching.
I know,
it slowed down and it fucking works.
It does. It certainly does. Yeah. Yeah.
Unreal, yeah,
it's,
man.
It's unique to his own. Definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. And yeah, so be looking for more from JCW. Well, both JCWs right here in the future on the Sin City Indie Report. But let's last but not least, turn the page over now and let's talk about AAW Crush and Destroy. Oh, man, this was a great show.
It sure was.
Excellent work from the top to the bottom. And at the very top of the show, this was a show that was a farewell or a send-off for the Berwyn Eagles Club, which if you're familiar with that venue, there's a lot of history there for independent professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the individuals who own that venue have decided that they're not going to be doing any kind of wrestling shows there going forward. And this was kind of AEW's send-off, as this has kind of been their home court. So at the very top of the show, we had some very, very inspiring words from the owner of AEW. But then we had multi-time world champion and WWE, I'll say it, future WWE Hall of Famer, Seth Rollins, come out, who actually rose to prominence largely through AAW as a springboard to getting to Ring of Honor and then obviously to NXT and to WWE.
Yeah, absolutely. And got his start even in AW as they were establishing the Berwyn's Eagles Club as their home base when they started back decade, you know, quite a while ago. And Rollins was a big part of that development as well. So it was a full circle moment for him and for the promotion, major surprise. And okay, very fitting on a night like, you know, like this. This was a very historical night because this venue has been synonymous with wrestling in the Chicago area for so long. Not just AEW, but multiple promotions have done shows there at different times, different years and such. I've been to a few shows there myself on the AEW side, and it is very, very cool. It's a very intimate venue. Yeah, it's super one of a kind in a really kind of a unique neighborhood as well, the part of Chicago. It's very, I think it's close to Cicero Stadium, which is another really cool venue in the Chicago area. But yes. This show is pretty awesome. And don't mind the cat behind me, by the way. He's saying hello. So he wants his chair, essentially. So
what's up, Chatter?
Well, yeah. But yeah, this show, the crowd, that's one thing.
Dude, yes.
Yeah, the crowd was in it. 100%.
As you would expect, though, to be honest, given the fact of what this show was, I'm glad that it wasn't a crowd full of people that were sitting on their hands. For you know, sure.
They were passionate. They were committed. And I think it all meant something to them too, being at the last show at the Eagles Club. And I just had to say for the record, I'm not convinced that there's never going to be wrestling at this venue down the road. I think it's eventually going to happen where they'll come back. It's just a matter of time. Maybe it's going to take a little bit of time to heal wounds. I know there was a lot of controversy in that one independent event where things happened, which led to this. And I know there's a lot of soreness, you know, from the venue, from the community and police and all this kind of stuff. So I get it for the time being. But yeah, I kind of think AEW will return and other independent professional wrestling organizations will return. I have a feeling that the owners of the club will eventually just like relax on it a little bit and recognize it was just a singular incident and not reflective of mostly any other promotion except that one particular, maybe, or what, even a particular talent or two. And that's really all it was really by the end of it. So
absolutely, man. And you know, some of the individual performances on this show that stood out to me, they've got a monster in Amazonga. This dude is he's a monster. Sure. Just go do yourself a favor, check this guy out. Yeah. And as he gets better with time, he's only going to get better. Also, shout outs to the four women in the four-way match. Mm-hmm. Maggie Lee picking up the win. She's got a great look. She has great energy too. So fantastic stuff there. Amina Belmont, Ray Larson, and Rory Shield did their thing. And, you know, also on this show, you had Matt Riddle and Stephen Wolf. Stephen Wolf is an excellent, excellent worker and has been for some time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to see him get in there and mix it up with Matt Riddle, they got a little bit over 11 minutes. So good stuff there. They gave them some time to get things done. Good stuff. And then obviously you cap off the night with crowning a new world champion. Mm-hmm. It's fitting. You know, Rafael Quintero defeats Trevor Lee for that AAW heavyweight championship. And if you're going to put a cap on the Berwyn Eagles Club, why not have a world championship or a heavyweight championship change hands?
Absolutely. And Rafael Quintero, his story is so unique to all this too. The dude used to go to shows when he was younger at the Berwyn's Eagles Club, going to AEW shows and other independent shows, becoming an AEW talent, rising slowly, piece by piece, step by step. And to cap it all off an event like this, wow. And I got to be honest with you, that was one of the best Trevor Lee matches I've ever seen, ever.
Dude, they gave them time, too.
Yeah.
Not that there was ever anything bad with Trevor Lee or that, you know, anything of that nature. Right. They gave these guys 24 minutes, yeah, and they were able to tell a great story,
yes,
in the span of that 24 minutes in that ring. Yeah. And again, it was just perfectly done.
Yeah, it really was. It was executed flawlessly. Both guys, wow. This was one of the better, frankly, one of the better independent wrestling matches I've seen all year, with just everything involved, with the crowd reactions, the physicality of this match, the back and forth, near falls. Man, this hit on multiple levels, I just had to tell you.
Hell yeah, very
awesome match. And also the women's title match was a fun brawl that went all over the place,
yep,
with Heather Reckless and Sierra as well. They have a history in this promotion from the past. And I loved how then after the match as well, Maggie Lee came out. So there, you know, Maggie Lee and Heather Reckless are a team in TNA, the Elegance brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Maggie Lee turns on her, yep, and we get that match coming up at the next AEW event. So
you gotta love it, man. They're telling stories on the indies.
Exactly, and I love it.
Gotta love it, man. And anything else from AAW that you wanted to bring up?
That pretty much covers it from my perspective. A solid show all around. To kick off the show with Danny Daniels and then Seth, yes, Rollins, I thought that was such a nice touch. And thank you, AEW, for getting this up on YouTube. I know they,
yes,
had complications. It was originally going to be live, and they didn't have internet. The Berwyn Eagles Club, like, basically dropped their Wi-Fi and their internet connection at the venue. So we had to wait for it for a couple of days, but it was well worth the wait because I had heard about the buzz right after the event. So I was definitely anticipating checking this out, and glad I did.
Hell yeah, man. And for that matter, any other indie shows or things that stood out to you from the world of pro wrestling right here, right before we wrap up?
Yeah, just a real quick note. So Thursday nights, I usually go through what I'd call the trifecta show, the trifecta of wrestling. So JCW, OVW, and then my final viewing was Ring of Honor. I caught an Honor Club tonight. So I still have Ring of Honor going on, subscription on the Honor Club. So still checking Ring of Honor out. They got a pay-per-view in a couple of weeks. Was that Supercard of Honor, I believe?
Supercard of Honor is coming up very soon. And so what things kind of stood out to you from this episode of ROH?
Yeah, just a few things. There was a good main event. It was a six-man. TMDK members took on the Don Callis family members in a pretty damn good, solid main event. These were all from the studio in Jacksonville, which they have improved, I feel like, from taping to taping on. The crowd seemed really into it, and it looked pretty darn good as well. So kudos for ROH. It's cosmetically making the studio show really stand out. Also, Mance Warner ended up showing up. This was his ROH debut.
Nice.
He worked a really physical match with Shane Taylor. That really it was good. It was damn good. This was probably the match of the show, as a matter of fact.
Those guys, just from you saying who was involved in that match,
yeah,
immediately I just thought of, to quote JR, it was a fucking slobber knocker.
It was, yeah. They were throwing bones, as they say. Also, another match that stood out to me was Top Flight against Gringo Loco and Soleil, who is actually Sidney Akeem under a mask. I was not aware of this new
group. Really?
Yeah, that's Sidney Akeem as Soleil.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense given, yeah.
Right. Yep. It kind of works. So,
yeah.
So, that's dope. He was in with Gringo Loco as a tag team in there against Top Flight in a pretty decent little match as well. So.
Hell yeah, man. Gotta love the base god, man.
Yeah.
Gringo Loco is so good.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And he's nationally just everywhere. Every corner of the country seems like Gringo Loco pops up every so often. So
absolutely, man. Well, hey, Jed, right before we wrap up, any kind of final thoughts, where can people follow you on your socials or maybe YouTube or anything of those effects?
Yeah, absolutely. Rad Jed's Wrestling Rants on YouTube, folks. look me up at Super Red Jed on YouTube. Plenty of clips from WrestleMania week. I'm going to be dropping some fresh rants in the month of May coming up here. So be on the look for that. Looking for a couple weekly themed rants, probably something along the line of a top 10 takes, which I had done prior for quite some time. So probably be doing that on a weekly basis, as well as the must-see matches and moments of the week as well. So that's coming up down the pipeline here on Wrestling Rants, baby.
I know that's right, bro. Yeah. And again, I just want to kind of bookend the show by saying, if you are an independent wrestling promoter, if you are an independent wrestling talent, if you're involved in any way, shape, or form with the independent wrestling scene, I would love to collaborate with you. So feel free, reach out to me anywhere that you see down below here, VegasBadBoys.com. You can hit up my website, SinCitySteve.com. And I would love to, you know, get you on the show, or maybe, you know, have some sort of a segment or something along those lines, because there's so much in the way of independent pro wrestling that there's not any possible way that I can cover all of it, that Jed can cover all of it, that any of us could cover all of it in the amount of time that we have. It's just not possible.
Right.
So, you know, with that being said, you know, if there's anybody that you want us to shine a light on as well, in case, you know, if you're a fan and you just enjoy pro wrestling, that's what we all are. Realistically, if you've been watching, if you've been listening to this show, pretty safe bet that you're a fan of pro wrestling at the end of the day. So feel free, reach out. I'd love to get some feedback from all of you guys. So with that being said, thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. Jed, we got through, bro. Episode 2 in the books.
Indeed.
And for all of you guys out there, until next time.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Bucciarelli dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.